Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Okay, today we're going to talk to Dr. Dana Suskind, who is a pediatrician and a professor at University of Chicago Medical Center. She has such a wealth of information as well as amazing books that we're going to talk about and the importance of talking to your children, especially between the ages of 0 to 3 years old, and the benefits that have on their language development and just the wiring of their brain. So we're going to jump right into it with Dr. Dana. Dr. Dana, I'm really excited to talk to you, not only because I'm about to have another baby, so these are all very timely topics for me, but I love your whole, you know, practice of speaking to children and the importance of it. So before we get into all of the nitty and gritty there, let's just talk about your messaging behind talking to children and the importance behind that.
Absolutely. First of all, so excited and congratulations.
Thank you.
So I think probably the best way for me to answer that question is just tell you a little bit about myself, what I do and why I do it. So I am both a pediatric surgeon and a social scientist here at the University of Chicago. I run a center that focuses on the importance of the first 3 years of life for brain development. We at the center develop scientifically based tools and programs to help parents get the most out of the early years, because I believe strongly that all kids deserve a chance to flourish. And I can tell you in my many, many years of doing this, that probably the most important and astoundingly simple thing that you can do for your baby is talk to them. And so really excited to share more about all of that science and just for this discussion.
So you really emphasize starting from the beginning, talking to your babies, which I think is so great. And also for some people might seem unnatural or why am I doing this? But let's talk about the importance of, for 0 to 3 years old, talking to your kids, not like they're babies, but talking to them like they are people that you're speaking to and paying attention to and interacting with, and how that benefits them long-term to focus on those first 3 years.
Absolutely. So I get that question a lot. Dana, if talk is so important, how do I start from the beginning? They don't even have words. Right. And what is really amazing is that babies come out, we are social beings, we have a social brain, and we come out ready to communicate and interact. It may not be that we have actual real words, but we communicate in so many different ways. So, and those words, I always say, you know, in the same way as milk is feeding your baby's body, your language, your interaction are building that baby's brain, your baby's brain. A million new neural connections happen every second just from your talk and interaction. And so while, as you say, sometimes it feels a little bit unnatural, it's why we, you know, in my first book and at the center, we've come up with this parenting hack, if you will, to get the most out of your talk and interaction. And we call it the three T's. It's tune in, talk more, and take turns. Tuning into your baby, you know, from day one, seeing what they're interested in. It could be the baby wipes, it could be the dandelions, and then talking about it. And then talking more. It's sometimes just using the power of narration. So if you're changing your baby's diaper, talking about it, using rich language. And then you get into the last and most important thing, taking turns, having a conversation. So really engaging your baby, whether or not they respond with gestures or glances or coos or babble, just responding and keeping it going, because those interactions are actually building your baby's brain. So those three T's are powerful for your baby, your husband, or, you know, anyone else who needs some strong interaction. So
Do you get the reaction a lot that for people who have a newborn or an infant, that talking to them might seem like, what am I doing? How do I talk to them? How do I narrate what I'm doing and not make it feel like I'm doing something that's like a weird interaction with babies? Like, is there a right and wrong way to communicate? Because we hear a lot about baby talk and like,
yeah,
people coming to see a baby and you go right into this kind of like, oh, no, 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 you know, like a, yeah, different, yeah, a different tone.
The
a different
high pitch.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, believe it or not, that high pitch sort of baby talk, it's actually called parentese or child-directed speech. And even though it looks so funny, it actually has a powerful active ingredient for actually building your baby's language. So even though at first you're like, why are you doing it? It's actually, it's a universal thing that happens across the world. There's actually a very interesting article that looked at parentese across the world, and everyone does it. And it's because it helps your baby, it helps them attune into what you're saying, right? And it helps them start learning the mother tongue, if you will. So even though it looks a little bit funny, I'm not talking, when I talk about baby talk, it's not gaga goo goo, obviously.
Yeah.
But even if you're using real words, mm-hmm, having the sort of sing-songy voice actually is capturing their attention and helping them learn language even better.
It's okay to do that kind of language with your baby.
Oh, not only is it okay, it's really important. Again, it's not gaga goo goo, but that sort of sing-songy voice, there's so much science behind it that the parents who do more of it, or yeah, that actually their kids' vocabularies are stronger and they get off to a stronger start.
Wow.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Let's go to the three T's that you mentioned. I want to reiterate them because I think that they're really important. It's tune in, talk more, and take turns. Where did that come from? And can you walk us through those three steps for parents to kind of get into?
Think about it. You know, the truth is that when you look at the scientific literature about what types of interactions are important for babies, it's a lot, right? It's everything from using lots of language to descriptive language to conversation to the parentese to even joint attention. And so instead of saying to parents, look, these are the 10,000 things that you can do to build your baby's brain, we sort of consolidated them into these three components, because tune in is the key, as I mentioned, getting your child's attention. That sing-songy voice that you mentioned, that parentese, actually that's part of tune in because it gets them interested in what you're saying. And importantly, you tuning into what they're interested in, because if they're very focused on the blocks and you're like talking about what's going on outside, they're not going to learn from that language. So as much as you want them to tune into you, you need to tune into them. So that comes from a really powerful scientific literature. And then the next is talking more. You know, some people think it's just like talking to babies, using lots of words, but that's not true. Using descriptive words is really important. Even talking about things that happened, you know, depending on the age of your baby, happened last week or tomorrow, the different ways you can use words is really important. And then lastly, from another part of the scientific literature, the conversation part is so key because language was meant to help us socialize. We are social beings, and having a conversation is the manifestation of helping your baby become, you know, a fully social being and having those conversations, having them practice, if you will. So tune in, talk more, take turns. You know, it sounds like three different components, but pretty soon after you practice it more and more, it just becomes a natural part of your interaction with your baby. And certainly I don't want people to say, okay, did I do it in the right order? There's not one right way. It's just basically the three sort of components that you can think about.
I think this is such an important conversation to have, especially for this generation of people having children. I'm 34 years old. I'm having my third, and I have seen, and also just because I'm in this space of interviewing people and talking to people in the parenting space, so much awareness about the importance of connecting with our children the way that we were kind of connected to with our parents' generation, device-free, technology-free, electronic toy-free. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of conversation around that. And I remember when I was pregnant with my first daughter 4 years ago, that I read a lot about the importance of the gaze between a mother and a baby, mm-hmm. and the fact that that's a declining interaction that people are having because of being on their devices. How big of the subject of devices and technology is present in your space specifically because of how much it's a part of people's lives now?
Catherine, I don't think that there is a more important conversation that we can have at this very moment. I mean, obviously, it is critical for the first 3 years of life because all of that foundational brain development is happening and we are social beings. But as we know, it is proliferating across the spectrum. We know in the adolescent period, even in the adult period, I think that people have forgotten how to connect, and that human connection that makes us so human, we're losing practice. And the ramifications for that in the early years can't be overstated. That's why, look, I think technology, there are many things that can help us in this world, but we can't get away from the human bond, that attachment between a child and their parent or caregiver. And too often technology separates people. And that's a big concern. So yes, it is, I'm also a practicing physician. I'm a pediatric implant surgeon, ENT. So feel free to ask me any ear infection questions as well. But I can tell you, even in the period of time that I've been doing this research, I can go into a patient room and there'll be, the one-year-old, the parents and a sibling, and everybody is on their technology. Even the baby can scroll. And, as someone who studies the importance of language and interaction for healthy brain development, it's incredibly concerning and something that I'm talking more and more about. We need technology that brings us together, not separates us.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What does that look like for kids, though? I mean, if you have patients who are coming in and you're seeing families that are giving their devices to young children or are maybe each on their own device, or, I find myself a lot of the time if I'm out and I see a dinner table with, you know, a family of different ages. There's the parents that are each on their phones. The kids are each on their iPads. And it's something that we've talked about in a lot of different episodes on BDA Baby. But as a pediatric physician yourself and somebody who interacts with a lot of different families of different ages, how do you communicate that to parents in a non-judgmental way, but still stressing the importance of having, you know, conversations?
Yeah. Listen, I think, as you say, in a non-judgmental way is the most important. Let's face it. Parenting is hard. Parenting is incredible. As a mother of 3 biological and 5 bonus kids, I can tell you, get it. It's a full house. And I think I was about your age when I had my 3rd. So I remember well how hard it is. So I think it's really important to address it both with humility and the knowledge that every parent, I have never met a parent in my 20 plus years of being a physician who doesn't love their children and want the absolute best for them. It's just very hard. And so the way I approach it is really both sharing the science, right? Sharing the science of how that, you know, I call it the original FaceTime, how that real interaction is what's building children's brains. That technology has been shown not only not to build their brains, but actually maybe to inhibit some of that important brain development, and to share the different ways that their language in easy ways can build their child's brain. And my concern related to technology and how it could potentially impact the wiring of our youngest learners and the huge ramifications that could occur. Because, you know, as you probably know, those first 3 years of life are, you know, 85% of your baby's brain is being developed. 1 million new neural connections are happening every second just from your talk and interaction. And that time period sets the trajectory for their entire lives. You add in technology that can fundamentally shift how your baby's brain develops. So, you know, it is with both understanding that there's no such thing as a perfect parent. I can tell you from personal experience, and your baby and your child will be okay, but limiting these external things like technology is only a benefit.
When you talk about technology in the first 3 years changing the wiring of or development of your baby's brain, can you talk about what specifically you're talking about with technology? Because there's such a wide range of access to different kinds of technology. People think that giving your kids certain toys that beep or play certain music is making your kids smarter. Other people feel the opposite way. And then there's like all of these learning games on iPads and things like that, that people feel like, is that making my kids smarter? But when you're talking about technology for the first 0 to 3, changing the wiring of your child's brain, what is that specifically?
Yeah, no. So I think it's important to understand that in those first 3 years of life, any experience, whether it's talk and interaction or music or stress, everything changes, impacts the wiring of your brain because all that brain development is happening. How does technology change the wiring of your brain? I think there's some stuff, it's some information we know, but there's a whole lot we don't know. There's been a lot of discussion of, in the adolescent period, how teens have been unwitting participants in experiments they haven't signed up for. Let's bring it to the first 3 years of life. Existing technology, but before AI, before generative AI, TV, et cetera, has been shown not to build vocabulary because it's not responsive. It actually decreases your vocabulary. But now with the new, as you say, these new technologies, these beeping interactive types, I think the point is we don't know. And knowing how vulnerable, there's a huge opportunity in the first 3 years of life for building it right, but also a huge, at the same time, huge vulnerability. So the question is, do we expose our children without more science? And that's some of the science that we're trying to do, other people are trying to do, because I think we need more understanding.
Are there certain things that you would say to parents, since the technology area is such a gray area with what you're saying as far as the implications that it has on young children's brains, just simply because it's so constantly evolving and it's relatively new? Are there certain things that in your research and in your time understanding technology and the effects that it has on kids that you would say to parents with kids that are 0 to 3 avoid this part of technology completely because we know it's not going to be good?
Yeah. I don't know if I would say that. I would say always having, a caregiver in the loop, right, is, I think, the key until we understand more. Mm-hmm. Because we know that, when we talked about television, you can't say to parents, oh, never expose your child to television, because like sometimes we're exhausted, these things happen. But if you can be part of the interaction, the caregiver in the loop, I would say in the same way, if we're leveraging newer technologies, always having sort of a parent in the loop, if you will, before we understand it. Everything's sort of so new and happening so quickly. I'm not quite ready to say these, sweeping generalizations, other than to say understanding how children's brains develop can help guide us in making the smartest choices that we can with uncertainty and incomplete information.
What about the kind of presence of FaceTime for children? Because I feel like, especially for those of us who had babies during COVID, that was such a big part of how anybody stayed in touch, if you had a baby or not, but just like the presence of COVID. And I remember at one point when I had my daughter, I was like, I don't want like this FaceTime. I don't want this technology. And at the same time, I was like, I want to show my family pictures and videos of my baby. So like how the balance there, but now that we're kind of in a little bit more of a normal time, does FaceTime have any sort of data when it comes to the brain development and language development of children?
Yeah, no, I love that question. Actually, some of my favorite colleagues and researchers, Roberta Golenkoff and Kathy Hirsch-Pasek, did a great study with video chat. And I am happy to share that it is a wonderful thing. Is a good thing because it's not recorded. It's what we call contingently responsive. When the baby says something, grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle on the other side are responsively contingent. So it actually is a positive thing. It's really when it comes to pre-recorded, this is pre-AI, pre-recorded videos that babies don't learn from it. And there's a very famous study looking at babies learning foreign sounds, that they can learn it from, in this case, a Mandarin teacher if they hear it in real life, but pre-recorded, the same thing, they don't learn it at all because it's not what we call responsively contingent. But FaceTime is a great thing.
Wonderful. I really think that so much of what you say is also really going back to the basics, which I'm such a big fan of when it comes to childhood and just raising kids today, is really just going back to how so many of us were raised, which was going outside, interacting with people, having conversations. You see this now, which is like so fascinating to me. I see this with kids that are kind of in that preteen and teen year age grouping, their inability to have conversations, make eye contact, even just like have basic human interactions. And it really is such a lost art now because of how much we've brought technology into parenting and just raising our kids. So I am such a huge fan of all the work that you're doing, and also just the fact that you're really encouraging people to be aware of the ability that they have from the very beginning to really engage with their children. And then also just to be mindful as they get older of how they can continue to interact with their kids, create conversation. And I mean, just to kind of wrap it up, as far as your support system towards parents in this time, what is that looking like for you? Because people with a newborn to people with 5-year-olds, 6-year teenagers, I mean, you must see it all, but what does your support system really look like for parents?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt that those first 3 years of life are incredibly, parenting is hard, let's face it, but there's nothing more important in our lives. And And the truth is, we don't talk enough about how important it is in this country. And as a result, I think society hasn't put in place the right supports that give parents not just the tools, but the policies and the support systems so they can be their children's first and most important brain architects, as I like to call them. So, you know, the supports that we need to better provide parents are not just the knowledge, but things like paid leave so you can have time with your child, flexibility in the workforce. There are so many ways that we can really honor that important role that parents play in raising the next generation. And I couldn't agree with you more that getting back to the basics of, sadly, the lost art of connecting with other humans. I mean, early childhood is the best evidence that attachment is the core of what makes us human. And we need to bring it back, you know, to the full spectrum. So maybe we need the three T's from 0 to 99. I don't know.
But, it's true. I mean, it really is true. It's like, you know, you go to, even when you, as I mentioned, like you see these dinner table conversations, the idea that people are sitting at the table and having interactions with one another, responding, speaking in a thoughtful way, respecting different opinions and positions on things, all of those things, you know, 0 to 3, of course, is so important for the brain and the wiring there. And then really it's your messaging can really be transferred to all of life, because there's a lot of that that I feel like needs to be encouraged no matter what age you are in the world today. It's like going back, just like, let's have a conversation. Let's interact with one another. It's so fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hope that through your podcast, we can bring it back to the basics of connecting. So technology, I think now we should ask ourselves, is it bringing us closer together?
Right.
Because so much of it has separated us. It needs to bring us together, or not be involved at all, more importantly. Yeah, so
definitely. Well, thank you so much. This was such an interesting conversation. And whether you have kids that are, you know, if you have a newborn or a three-year-old or even a child that is older, I think that these are all such beneficial and important tools that you're talking about and explaining to people, and just like the awareness overall for parents to have in their mind of connection, communication, like all these things are just so important. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much to Dr. Dana for such an interesting conversation, and one that, as I've said before, just gets right back to the basics of parenting, human interaction, and starting all of that from birth and onward. So thank you to Dr. Dana, and I'll make sure to link her books, which are really interesting and very profound, whether you have a newborn or not. So thank you.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.